How's everybody doing? Boy, this altar looks good down here, don't it? Hallelujah. Everybody good? Y'all look good. All right, we got more coming in. I just want to praise God for this week. It's been an awesome week. While I'm talking, I'm going to go down here and start this up, because if I don't, it ain't going to get going. Yeah, so anyway, got a couple announcements. JC, where's JC? Workday's the 27th, right? 27th. I'm looking for New Vision Ministries. It's supposed to be started. Are y'all started yet, Kevin? That didn't work. We got a workday March the 27th. It's a Saturday. JC is going to be, we're going to come up with a bunch of stuff to do. Good gracious, I can see my brother live. Y'all want me to start my brother live right there? That's pretty good when you see your own brother preaching, ain't it? But, yeah, both of us got it preaching. So, anyway, I just messed up again. So, we've got a work day. JC's going to get everything together. I know we got a bunch of stuff to do. And we're going to have work crews down there. And we're also going to have work crews up here. And we're going to have a sign-up sheet Sunday morning, right? Tonight's service. Now, everybody can see that now. Okay. So, are y'all ready up here? Okay. Y'all talking behind my back? She said she ain't going to lie. Anyway, we're going to have a work day. It's going to be a big work day. We've got a lot of stuff to do. If you notice, I cut some concrete today. We're looking at doing a bunch of the mulch and all that stuff. I don't know if we won't do that. We're trying to get somebody else to do that. Y'all say amen. Okay, because we were going to make this place look good. It's been looking shabby for long enough. Amen? Oh, I am going to preach. I could preach right there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be nice tonight, hopefully. But really, we want to clean this place up. We want it looking good, and we got a bunch of people wanting to help, willing to help. So mark your calendars. We're giving you about a 2.5-week notice, March the 27th. The sign-up sheet's going to be out front, and what we're going to do is we're going to have all the stuff, try to have all the stuff listed, some stuff that you want to do. We're going to do some pressure washing. We're going to do trimming. We're going to bust out some block out here. We're going to fix some stuff. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff to do, and we're going to need some tools and rakes. We're going to clean up the prayer garden down there. We're going to need some help doing that, and we're going to pile it up, and we're going to set us a fire. And Anita said she's going to do hot dogs for us for lunch. So we're going to have a good time. Amen. Mm-hmm. So just don't forget, March the 27th. Also, Tony Crowley's daughter is about to have a grandbaby. Where's Tony at? Back somewhere? He's in the corner. You need to be in the corner. Yes, sir. No. Heather is there right now. She's having contractions. So let's pray that it comes real fast. Amen. So she don't have to struggle. And I appreciate your faithfulness being here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if Allison was over, I'd be struggling, which they wouldn't let them go in. And that's another thing. Y'all probably have to come get me out of jail. If my daughter was having a baby, they told me I couldn't come in. I'm going to put on a doctor's uniform, and I'm going to go in and be a doctor. I am a doctor. I am a doctor for Jesus. Y'all, I'm serious. Y'all think I'm kidding. Well, I'll be doing something. I'll be doing something. But anyway, what else we got? Help me out. Anybody else think of anything? Holly? Worship night. When is that? April 16th. Okay. April the 16th. Be passing it, spreading it, sharing it on Facebook and everything. We're going to have a great, great time of worship. Amen? I'm trying to think of anything else. Volunteers for cleaning crew. Well, after they saw that, we should have had 100 people sign up. God's garden. Okay. So Sunday after church, if we don't have people signed up, I'm going to hold them hostage until we get them to sign up. Is that good? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. So if you don't know who to see, and some of you probably forgot because of the powerful service we had, I understand that. If you don't know who to see, come and see Holly. Holly, raise your hand, and Holly can direct you to the website and all that good stuff. All right? Y'all look good, man. We had 99 last Wednesday night just in here. That's awesome. So, got a lot of new people coming. We really appreciate you. You've brought an anticipation. I don't know if you can feel it or not, but every service is like we're anticipating a move of God's Spirit. And when you anticipate a move of God's Spirit, guess what you get? a move of God's Spirit. So we're excited, and I'm going to pray, and then the worship team's going to lead worship. We got the guys back there taking up the offering, so whenever you leave out, you can give your offering, and we appreciate your faithfulness and how God's been moving. Amen? Everybody good? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We're excited about the word you've given us. We're excited about the worship team, and God, we are really excited about what you've been doing. Sunday morning was just awesome. Lord, we have been altered here, but we just did this to represent all the hurts and things as people's going through, and we've prayed over that. We've had others to come in and pray over it, even during the week, Sunday night and during the week. And so, God, I'm just thanking you for doing a great work Sunday morning. But, you know, you want to do a great work tonight. We don't just have to have a great move of the Spirit on Sunday morning. We want to have a great move of the Spirit every time we come together. We want to have a great move of the Spirit when we're in our prayer closet. We want to have a great move of the Spirit all the time, Lord, just so we can be wrapped up in the Spirit. You told us to walk in the Spirit. We need to worship in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not get caught up in all the world's mess. So, Lord, we thank you for that. It's a great promise that we have. I praise you for protecting people this week. Some was in car wrecks. Some did other things that happened, Lord, and you protected them, Lord, and we give you praise for that, God. You're faithful. You're just a great God. And, Lord, tonight I know you're going to move, so we're just going to thank you for everything that you've done. We're going to thank you for the missions offering and everything that we're taking up tonight. We thank you for all these ministries. Pray for the children's ministries and everything that's going on, the youth and middle school. And, God, just pour your Spirit out. We give you praise for everything that you're doing. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
It's not my life to live. It's not my song to sing. All I have is His for all eternity. It's not my righteousness. It's not my faithfulness. All I have is His for all eternity. And we will crown Him, crown Him King of glory. Crown Him, crown Him Lord of all. Crown Him, crown Him King of glory. Crown Him, crown Him Lord. Not my weight to bear, but by His mighty hand, He won the victory. And we will crown Him, crown Him King of glory. Crown Him, crown Lord of all. Crown Him, crown Him King of glory. Crown Him, crown Him Lord of all. It's not my blood but His that stands in my defense. And oh, what love is this that won the victory? won the victory, and we will crown him, crown him.
The sea that swallowed up my every fear. I have walked from the shore to the deep, and through it all, you were there. Mighty Redeemer, strong to deliver, you by my side. Mighty Redeemer, strong to deliver, you are the great I am. We crown you with every crown for the way you saved us. Crown you with every crown for crown you the Lord of all. crown. Oh, the way you saved us, crown you with every crown. Oh, the way you love us, holy King of heaven, we crown you the Lord of all. Oh, high King of heaven, we crown. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we wanna know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. And speak to us, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we wanna know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. What we seek. And when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see, you're changing everything. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are. Everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. And when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. You're changing everything.
Change, Lord,
when you move all our fears. When you move us to tears. And when you move all our fears. And when you move us to tears. And when you fall on our knees. And when you fall at your feet. And when you fall on our knees. speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. And when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. You're changing everything. Come and change this place. Come and change this place. Oh. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
You know, church, I found myself just wanting to come up to my office and get in his presence. That's my secret place. And it's just like in the last 8 or 9 weeks, he's just opened up his word like in an unbelievable way. And when God's word speaks and we listen and we apply his word to our life, everything changes. And I've seen so many of you changing. I have watched, not just in the spirit, but I've watched even physically how some of you are changing. God is moving in your life. He's moving in your family. Revival fires are burning. And we just say, word of God, speak. Let it pour down like rain. Let the Spirit of God fall in this place like rain, Lord. Send the rain of your spirit, the latter rain, in Jesus' name, Lord. We honor you in this place, and we worship you in this place. And Lord, as you continue to move, as you continue your faithfulness, may we be faithful, Lord, to do what you've called us to do, no matter what it is, no matter what it costs. As David said, I love this, he said, I will not offer the Lord anything that costs me nothing. So, Lord, may we surrender to that and submit to that. Those words right there, I will not offer the Lord anything that costs me nothing. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, you're it. You're it. You're all that we have. You're all that we have. All of our hope, all of our trust, all of our confidence is in you. And, God, we're looking and we're waiting with anticipation for the moving of your spirit, Lord, even in greater measure than we've seen it. And we know that you want to move. So, Lord, we submit to you. We surrender to you and we trust you. And we accept your will for us as individuals and us as a church. We praise you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Tell your neighbor you love them as you're seated. Because I know you do. Because when we're saved, we have the love of Jesus in us, right? Hallelujah. I want you, if you will, to go back to Mark chapter 10. I noticed I watched the video today, man. I'm going to tell you what, last Wednesday was awesome, man. It's awesome. When I had the notes in front of me, just looking at none of the stuff that I had on my notes was, God did a new thing. It's a fresh word. And so I want to go back and touch on it just a tad, but then I want to continue going. We've been talking about kingdom disciples, and we're in a stage now where we're talking about kingdom investments. And, you know, I've said this before, but when you invest in something, some of you that invest in stocks or you buy stocks or you put your money somewhere and you invest in something, guess what? You want a return for it, don't you? So when we invest in the kingdom of God, we need to realize that we're going to get a great return. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're not doing it for that, but we're going to receive a great return. And we're going to talk about the disciples here in a few minutes on some of the stuff that they talked about. But you remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He ran to Jesus, and Jesus was speaking to him. And he said, teacher, he said, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a little boy. We talked about that. And Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. He wasn't mad at him, but he said, you're missing one thing, he said. Go and sell everything that you have. Give the money to those who are poor. You have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, I've told y'all this many times before. There's nothing wrong with having money as long as your money ain't got you. Okay? Nothing wrong with having money. Matter of fact, Glenna will agree tonight that we have more money, won't we? Hallelujah. We'll do right with it too. So, there's nothing wrong with having money. He said, but build your treasures in heaven. And it says that the man's face fell, his countenance fell, and he went away because he was very rich. And we discussed that last week. We talked about how that one thing, a lot of people will say, well, I just got this one little thing. Well, Jesus looks at that one little thing. Jesus is concerned about that one sin that you have in your life. And we talked about that last week. And I know a lot of people got rid of sin. I know a lot of people contacted me and came up to me after the service. Because when I got through preaching, I was like, oh, man, it's just one of them tough messages. And then when people come up and said, this is just confirmation for us. And some of them did a devotion that the night before. And the word was surrender. And both of them agreed to each other that they would surrender the one thing that they struggled with. And they were done with it. They did this Tuesday night, and then I preach this Wednesday night, and it's just like, woo, hallelujah. Can I say this? If you ever come to a service and the word may not be quite for you, or you may not think the word's for you, do you not think that other people are just as important as you? And if God wants to speak to one person, and that Sunday or Wednesday night just might not have been your message, is that okay? I'm glad it is, because I mean, he can peg all of you if he wants to. But, you know, is that not awesome, though, when God does that and he just confirms? And, you know, we've been talking about it. God's been confirming and confirming. Do you know that message that I needed to share on Facebook, the reason I did that was just confirmation for the church. And some of you probably ain't even looked at it. You hadn't even read it, or you might have just glanced through it. You need to go read that, because everything that prophet said, or that word that came forth, was what I preached Sunday, and I didn't even get it till Monday. God is speaking to his church, to the remnant, to those that are listening. Where did God speak? He's speaking loud and clear. And we just need to listen and go on. And he's going to speak tonight. Are y'all ready? Okay, he says this, that Jesus loved him. And the man's face fell and he went away sad because he's very rich. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard is it for rich people to enter God's kingdom? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter, rich people, to enter God's kingdom? Do you know why he said that? And do you know why they were amazed? Because, I'm going to preach this, okay? He said that because they judged people that was rich and gave credit that God did it. They thought that when people were rich, that it was the approval of God. You know that a lot of people today do that? Do you know there's a lot of people in the church? I ain't talking about the world, because we know how they are. But there's a lot of people in the church that they look like they've got the favor of God and the blessing of God all their life. And the car they're riding around is used and bought with God's money. Oh, I'm going to preach it. And the house that they're living in that looks real fine is paid for with God's money. And the business that they're running is paid for with God's money. And you look at it and think, whoa, God's really blessing them. No, he ain't. Oh, you don't like that, do you? It's the truth. It's the truth. And we show the approval, or people think that God is approving of their lifestyle because they're getting blessed. God can bless you any way he wants to. Whether you ever give him anything or not is God's business. But just because you are walking in God's blessing don't mean you're doing what God's blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't take God for granted. And don't try to use him like a genie in the bottle, because he don't go for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to jump that altar before it's over with. So look here, not everybody that looks blessed is blessed by God. Okay? There's a lot of rich people I could call their names off, and we all know by their life that God's not blessing their lifestyle, but some of them are great business minds. Do you know that God blesses people with business minds to further his kingdom, and some of them don't use it for that purpose? How hard is it for a rich man to get to heaven? Jesus spoke about it many times. You know why it's so hard for them? I can tell you from personal experience, and I wasn't planning on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can tell you from personal experience, it's harder to get somebody that makes a whole lot of money to tithe than it is the person that gets the check every month. Ouch, or old me, or old help me Jesus, or whatever. That's the truth. The person that makes the most money, you need to be listening to this, and you need to send it to your friend. Most of the time, the person that makes the most money is the one that will not tithe. They might give, but they don't tithe. Oh, Lord. Amen? That's all right. Keep driving that nice car, living that fine house. I'm serious. I mean, God bless you. Hope you get away with it. I don't believe you will, but you might for a little while. Why are y'all looking at me like that? I didn't start it again, ain't it? Says the disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of heaven for a rich person? It says, it is hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It is even harder for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you study this out, some commentaries say that the eye of a needle was in the gate at Jerusalem. There was big gates, and then there was little bitty gates. And then they would take a camel, they would strip the camel down, take its load off, and the camel would get down on its knees, and it would crawl through the gate. Some people say that. The first time I ever read it, I thought it was talking about a sewing needle. Well, guess what? I read tonight in studying, there's several different translations, and I don't even know why I looked at it, but it literally says it's not the eye of the needle is not in a gate. It's really the literal trying to get it through a thread. That's how hard it is. That's pretty hard, ain't it? But praise God, it says this. The disciples was even more amazed. They said to each other, then how can we be saved? Who can be saved? Because they was judging the rich because they thought it was God's favor on their life. Let me tell you something. Some of the richest people, Bertha, you will attest to this, some of the richest people we've ever seen in our life had absolutely nothing. Had nothing. I'm not saying I want to have nothing. I'm just telling you, some of the richest people we've ever seen, either in Haiti or in Dominican or in Honduras or any other, Africa, some of the richest people are people who have nothing. And you know why? Because they don't know what they're missing, is what some people say. I like to say they got to trust in God. We had, you remember when we had the group from Danita's children, you know, it was His Little Feet the very first time. Those was Danita's children that came. And see, we know those kids. And so the ones that we had, they shared with me and Glenna that they were being petted and pampered. They got taken care of in Haiti. They were better off than most kids in Haiti. But they were being petted and pampered and taken everywhere and doing everything and eating everywhere like crazy. But when they talked to us, they were so lonely. They wanted to go home. All this stuff didn't mean anything to them. They wanted to go home. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, but don't let your stuff have you. And help me, Jesus, don't buy your stuff with God's money. I'm going to move right along because I can tell some of you that's a sore spot. Then who can be saved, they said. Who's going to get saved? Who can be saved? I'm going to say one more thing. I got to say this. Your tithe goes to the church. You don't spend your tithe the way you want to. Your 10% goes to the church. This is where you get fed. After that, it's a love offering. You do whatever you want to with it. But you don't take your tithe and do what you want to it and spend it the way you want to and buy what you want to. That is not scriptural. Amen. Say it louder where the ones in the back can hear it. I was talking to me, but that's good anyway. Let's move on. Jesus looked at them and said, with people, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible. Well, we've been preaching on the God of the impossible. I mean, if it's really the eye of a needle, like the little thread, the needle, that is really impossible. But God. And if it's even the one, the little gate where the camel gets down and crawls through there, that'd be tough too, but all things are possible with God. You remember the little children had just come to him. So he said, unless you come to me like a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom. So he's bringing everything back to that. He's saying, just trust me. Trust me with everything you have. And when you do, you'll inherit the kingdom of God. It says here, Jesus looked at them and said, well, people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Then Peter spoke up. I love Peter. Peter was the one that was bold, and he got in trouble a lot of times with his mouth. I don't know many people like that around here, do y'all? Your preacher sure ain't like him. We have left everything to follow you. That's pretty awesome. Peter's looking at all these rich people that's not going to heaven, so now, this is me. I can't prove this. But I'm thinking Peter's saying, well, we good. We ain't rich. We ain't got nothing. We left everything we had for you, so we good, ain't we? Y'all don't think like me, do you? That's the way I'm thinking. I'm thinking Peter's saying, hey, we ain't rich for sure because we left everything, so we got to be good, right? We ain't got nothing. We Paul. We Paul. We poor. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get debunked for that. Help me, Jesus. I just offended 15,000 people, and I'm going to go to Looney Tunes jail. So help me, Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, then Pete, y'all get it later. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. What I'm about to tell you is true, Jesus replied. Has anyone left home or family or fields for me and the good news, not just because you wanted to, not just because somebody told you to, but you did it because of me and the gospel, the good news. Oh, y'all ready? This is a promise. Written in red, right? What does that mean, written in red? Jesus said it. He said, they will receive 100 times as much when they go to heaven. Are y'all reading that? I don't say 100 times as much in this world. In this world. Everybody say in this world. Have you got your 100 times as much yet? Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Just a minute ago, you damned everybody to hell for not tithing. Now you're saying we're going to get 100 times more. God's economy is not like our economy. God don't work on our economy. We've been teaching that and walking through that and seeing how God works and God moves and God takes a little. Sunday morning, we're going to see how God can take a little bit and defeat a whole bunch. But he said in this world, he said, anybody that has left home or family or friends for me and the good news, they will receive 100 times as much in this world. When me and Glenna went to Tennessee, I took a $30,000 a year cut in pay. And in 6 months, we were frugal as all get out. In 6 months, we were busted, disgusted, and we could be trusted. I always tell y'all busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted. We could be trusted, man. We did what God said. We tithed. We did everything that God told us to do. And when you see these scriptures here, you're thinking, what's up? And so I asked God. On a Sunday night, I wrote a letter to Glenn. I said, you know, it's time for God to show up. We had $20. She had $18. I had $2 in quarters. And we had 2 weeks before we got paid. And we were frugal. The man that we were staying, he was going to let us stay free. But I was so prideful, I wouldn't let him do it. Now, we had a house in Bessemer City that my mom was living in. But we weren't making nothing off of the house. And I'm like, okay, God. And I told Glenn, I wrote a letter. I said, it's time for you to show up. Some of you have heard this. I go to work. I'm miserable. I'm upset. I'm frustrated and everything. And, you know, and I didn't normally go home because Allison would, you know, she'd get upset. She wasn't 3 or 4 years old, and she'd get upset. And so that day I called Glenn. I said, do you mind if I come home during lunch? I just need to be with my wife. Sometimes you just need to be with the ones that love you the most, right? I need to be with somebody that knew me and knew my heart. And I was hurting, man, because I'm like, I'm a provider. God's always put that inside of me to be a provider. Take care of my family. So I drive up. I'm on the way home, and I had $2 worth of quarters. And this is, praise God, this is back when McDonald's had them little 50-cent hamburgers. I bought 3 of them. That's all the money I had. And I go home, and we was living a little 1,000-square-foot duplex, and a woman beside us had holes in the walls. I know she did. She's crazy. Y'all think I'm kidding. She was crazy. Why are y'all looking at me? Y'all got a neighbor like that or something? I mean, she was crazy. They like that, ain't they? So listen, when I pulled up in the driveway, I look out. Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? Come on, be honest. Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? Lord, I've give this up for you. Come on. That's the way I felt that day. When I pulled up in the drive, I looked at this little bitty pool that Glenna had gotten, Allison. And we had a big Montanique pool that had riprap rock and the fence and the lights and all this stuff. Great big pool. Big house. Not big house, but nice house out in the country. I could ride my four wheels. I could shoot my guns. I could do whatever I wanted to do. And we in this little bitty apartment with this woman beside of us that gawks at you every time you come. I mean, you know, and Glenn is sitting out on the porch. And I'm feeling sorry for myself. Now, I'm thinking to myself, I'm right where Peter's at. I'm like, Lord, I didn't give up everything for you. I mean, I had an awesome job. I was top 10 in sales. I had it made, getting ready to sign another contract for $15,000 a year for Sam's. That's how much more money I was going to make. And I said, I left it all because you asked me to. And I'm feeling sad. And I wrote Glenn that letter, and I said, it's time for God to show up. We've tithed. We've always tithed since we've been saved. So I go up, and we're sitting there talking, and I tell this a little bit different than she remembers. I would get her to come up here and tell her, but she'd kill me. But the way I remember it is we're sitting there talking, and I seen a light, and the mail truck comes down, and Glenna goes across. She gets the mail, and she comes back, and we had a 24 or 27. How much was it? Either one. Don't matter. She's back there. I don't know. $2,700 check from the state of North Carolina that they owed us on tax, or it was our tax check. Just in time. Just in time. Now, Have you ever felt like God was late? Some of y'all so dang holy in this place. You're scared to shake your head. Look, it's okay to think God was late. It's even okay. I've been mad at God before. Anybody ever been mad at God before? Okay. Your arm ain't going to fall off if you raise your arm. And if you smile, you're going to be okay. We're human. I've questioned God. I've been frustrated with God. I've been frustrated with some of you. And I know you've been frustrated with me. But, you know, can I just take a little sidebar? Does it not feel good right now? Does it not feel good right now? Can we not just enjoy it right now? Because the Holy Ghost is moving. People's lives are being changed. And we ain't got no arguments or fusses going on in the church that I know of. Does it not feel good right now? Now, next week, I may stand up here and say, help us, Jesus. But don't it feel good right now? Don't the expectation and everything that God's doing. But when God did that, man, it was an altar for me. And I never forgot it. And I never will forget. That's why whenever we do a new members class, I don't have a problem. Or whenever I'm talking about money and finances in church, I don't have a problem talking about, because I know what God's done in my life. And Peter said, we've left everything. I've been there. Well, we left everything. And now, I was sitting there, I about made a video today, but I make too many. I'm so happy. I am so happy. And the devil's listening. I'm happy. I am. I'm happy. You know why? Because I'm redoubtable. I'm a mighty man of God. And God is smiling on me because I'm trying my best to do exactly what he wants me to do. And whether you're smiling or not, or you're smiling or not, as long as he's smiling and he's giving me his word and the Spirit of God is moving, I'm happy. I didn't catch a fish yesterday and I'm still happy. Hallelujah. God's moving, man. God is moving. And when Peter said it, Jesus said, you know, you're going to receive 100 times as much in this world. That doesn't mean, it may mean in your life, but when I study this out, it's talking about just like with me. I've got more friends now than I've ever had in my life. Amen? I could probably, if I needed to, or me and Glenna needed to, if something happened to the parsonage and we needed somewhere to stay, most all of you would say, hey, I don't care. You got to come to my house or we'll get you. I've got plenty of houses if I need it. I've been blessed. I believe I've been blessed 100-fold. I do. And it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all to do with him. Are y'all good, man? I love y'all. He said they would receive homes and families and fields. Speaking of fields, if any of y'all got a good place to deer hunt, I'll take that too. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing it out there. He said you receive fields. You deer hunting fields. If you got any fields, let me know. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't look at me like that. I ain't got any PETA people in here that don't believe in killing animals, do I? Put your arm down. We ain't gonna listen to you. You eat deer meat and possum and coon and everything else. What are you talking about? They will have homes and families and fields, but they will also, listen, he said, they will also be treated badly by others. I don't know of anybody that I've ever met in my life that likes to be treated badly. I know it looks like they like to be treated badly because they stay in the same mess all the time. So you would think that they really like to be treated badly, but I don't believe they really like it. I just believe they ain't got enough sense or enough fortitude to get away from it. And everybody should be saying amen right now because I know what y'all are doing. Matt, don't be shaking. I know what y'all are doing right now. Y'all thinking about the person that does that all the time. I know you. Because you know why? Because that's what I'm thinking about. Some goofball that needs to just say, hey, I'm done. Listen, and in the world to come, they will live forever. What a promise. What a promise. He's, listen, we're talking about investment. When you invest your life, when you say like Peter did and you leave everything for him, Jesus looked right back at Peter and he said, look, brother, you're going to receive all this. Look at Peter's life. Peter went back to fishing. We don't know how he did that. But look how Peter died. Peter died hung upside down. He said he wasn't worthy to be hung like his Savior, put on a cross like his Savior. He said, you hang me upside down. In the natural, if you look at that, you think, man, that wasn't too good of a promise right there. Where's Peter at right now? See, sometimes I think we're too earthly minded. And this is where we live, but he said to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to think of the spiritual realm more than the physical realm, and I know it's hard. That's why a while back when I preached about guarding your heart, guard what comes into your heart, guard what you listen to, guard who you talk to. I found myself this week, I've been so pumped up and fired up and reading revival books and all this, and then I had to get in a conversation with somebody, and I ain't going to tell you who it is. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't you. But honestly, because I've been so fired up and just God speaking to me, crazy stuff, just like the message in tongues Sunday morning, it went right. I mean, just everything that's been happening in the last 8 weeks, it's like the fog, the favor of God. That's what I feel like. And God's been moving. And when I spoke to this person, it's just like, bleh. That's what I felt like. Somebody throwed up all over me. Anybody want to get throwed up on? I don't. I threw up my brother's car one night drunk, and he beat the dog out of me. I don't like throwing up. I got bad memories of throwing up. Amen? It's just like, it's sad. It's sad because some people are so depressed and so down that they can't even get out of their own funk. And the only way they know to do is just to throw it on you, puke all over you. And when you're walking in the Spirit, man, your spirit man don't like it. Now, as a pastor, yeah, I got to love them and I got to talk to them. And I hate to say this, but I'm like on the phone, like, God, Jesus, get me out of this. And then I remember, this is what I called you to do. You know, when I first came to this church, I mean, I'm not lying, y'all. There was so many. Everybody in the church was sick, I think. I went to every hospital. I was going. One day, I had to go to four different hospitals. I went to Shelby. I went to Catawba. I went to Gastonia. I went to Lincolnton. Just running, running, running. And I loved it. I did. I loved it. But then after I was a pastor about 10 years, and I'm starting to run here and run there, Curtis has been with me. Run down here, run here, see this person. And then somebody look at you and say, are you a preacher? You remember that? Woman got mad at me because I was going fishing on a fishing trip. She's dead and in heaven now, so don't nobody be trying to get mad. I went fishing on a fishing trip. And while I was gone, she tried to call me. Well, she had the wrong number. It's an old cell phone number. And so she couldn't get in touch. She didn't bother to call the church. She didn't bother to call Glenna. But when I come back, we went to the hospital. And as soon as I go in, she's in intensive care, man. She's like, ah. And she looks at me and she said, are you a real preacher or a fisherman? Did she not? What did she say? What did I say? I said, both, didn't I? I said, I'm both. Danged if you do and danged if you don't. But nobody likes to get dumped on, you know? And Jesus said this. He said, but many who will be first will be last. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. A lot of people think he's talking about the Jews, you know, because they didn't accept Christ. They rejected him. The Gentiles come along. So the Jews are first. The Gentiles was last. Now the Gentiles will be first and all. It don't matter. I just want to be with him. Amen. I just want to be with him. I want him to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. I was going to go to Luke chapter 19. You can go read it, 11 through 27, I believe it is. You can read it for your homework. I'm not going to get into it because once I get into it, I want to do the whole thing. And that'll be about 40 minutes. And I don't know if y'all want to stay to 15 till 9. So I'm going to bless you and let you go early tonight. Okay? But think about this. Remember what we talked about. He said, I have one thing against you. There's one thing that you're missing. We all prayed. A bunch of us prayed about that last week. Don't pick it back up. Some of you watching because you're not here tonight, don't pick it back up. Do you know that, and some of you have heard this before, but do you know that when you're delivered from something or you're set free from something, if you let it come back, it'll bring seven more demons with it, more wicked than they are. They're not jealous at all. Church people are jealous. Demons are not jealous. I've watched that with my own eyes. I've seen people set free and delivered from drugs, from homosexuality and other things. And they've done really good, and then they start dabbling again in it. And when it comes back that time, boy, it's like, woo! Because they bring back seven more wicked than that one. So be careful how, when the Lord sets you free from something, and when the Lord ministers to you and he helps you, be careful how you go dabbling back in it. Leave it alone. Stay away from it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for your promises that you will reward us. We're not just name it and claim it and all that stuff, but we believe in walking in the favor of God. We believe that you bless us. And I've always said this, and you spoke this to me years ago, you take care of my business and I'll take care of your business. And Lord, your business is the kingdom of God. That's what you are all about, is the kingdom of God. All this other foolishness, that's not what you're concerned about. You're concerned about the kingdom of God. You're concerned about your children and people dying and going to hell. You don't want anybody to perish, Lord. So help us as we search these scriptures out. Help us to realize that, yeah, we have given up a lot, but you're going to bless us for it. There's an inheritance that is out of this world. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, I remember the word that says we're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. We're going to face it. But God, help us to face it with grace, mercy, and long suffering towards others, Lord. Because we want you to show us grace. We want you to show us mercy. And we want you to be long suffering with us, because some of us are pretty hard headed. But we thank you for that, Lord. We love you for everything that you've done in our life. What you're doing in our church, Lord, I'm so grateful. What you're doing in the lives of your people that I see, I am so grateful. The spiritual growth that's going on, I am so, so grateful, Lord. And it's all because of you. We give you the glory for everything that's happening and for the revival that's coming and for the move of God that's coming, for every soul that's saved, for every person that's healed, for every person that's delivered, for every saint that is taken to heaven. Lord, we give you the glory for everything that you do, Lord, because we're here to please you and we're here to bring you glory. You said for us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us be working for you. And Lord, as we say a lot in our prayers, help us to love those others don't love, reach those others demon reachable, equip the saints to do the work of the gospel, and be found faithful when Jesus comes back. And we believe he's coming back soon. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. And I will see you Sunday morning. Come expecting. It's going to be good. Amen. Fresh bread. Y'all good? I preached 30 more minutes. Ha, ha, ha.